Sure, many of the phrases that we read together from John chapter 14 are very familiar. And familiarity can breed contempt. I'm sure it won't in this sense. But familiarity can produce in us a sort of a just glancing over it, not realizing all the import of the words of our Saviour. Because we are in need of the teaching of the Holy Spirit. We can't assimilate the truth of the gospel by ourselves. We can go up to the great universities and talk to the theologians. They understand, they know what the gospel is in the terms of salvation, but they reject it. They know it in their brains, but they haven't got it in the heart. So we can have a brain knowledge, a head knowledge, and yet be destitute of a real heart understanding and affection for the Saviour. So when we read that chapter together, many phrases very familiar to us, we can lightly pass over them. Well, with the Lord's help, I would like to direct you to these words of our Saviour, where he says in the sixth verse, Jesus saith unto him, that's unto Thomas, but all the others were hearing, of course, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The occasion of these words were, it's coming towards the time of our Lord's sufferings upon the cross. And the Lord Jesus has been speaking to them about the coming crisis, the coming departure, that he would leave them. And they were troubled by it. We cannot understand perhaps the feeling that they had. Perhaps we can. I don't know what to liken it to. That I have a wife of over 60 years. What a grief it would be to me if she left me. I know she would, but it would break my heart, wouldn't it? It would make me desperate. It would make me do extremely stupid things because of what happens when a woman leaves her husband or vice versa. In a similar way, the disciples were greatly troubled in their heart. They could not understand what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying. What he had said, he said he was going to leave them. He had always been with them, and they were always coming to him. We know it if we have a friend. I mean, when you're married, you don't perhaps have so many friends in the world, but you know a friend and you have a need, you go to them. When I was a little boy, I had an auntie who lived next door, Auntie Maud. She had no children. I had to learn that she had a baby, but it died at birth. But this Auntie Maud loved me, even as her own child. And I could go to her, whatever need I had, and she would seek to supply it. When I was troubled, perhaps my father had given me a clip round the ear or something like that, and I'd done something wrong, and I'd gone out crying, and I'd gone to Auntie Maud, and she would have comforted me. That's a poor example, perhaps, but how these disciples were troubled for the terrible thought that they had, that they had heard, that the Saviour was going to leave them. They had heard that one was going to betray him into the hands of the authorities. They had heard that they would all be scattered, that they would all be offended at him, which turned out to be true. All except the women, they deserted the Saviour and John, perhaps one other, we are not sure. So the Saviour, to comfort them, says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. The God of truth, the God of love, you believe in him. Jehovah, the God of Israel, the God who keeps his people, who has made wonderful promises to them. And believe in me. And if you read through the passage that we read, it expressly speaks, does our Saviour, of the unity of the Father and the Son. In verse 9, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. That's a very clear and express statement of the divinity and the unity of the Son and the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. So as a church of Christ, we confess that Jesus is truly and really God, the second person of the Trinity. We throw away any ideas of modernism that would just speak of Jesus as a friend or as a man. If you hear, sometimes I hear occasionally, prayer for the day on the radio, on Radio 4. Never does the speaker, sometimes a minister of an Anglican church or even a Baptist church we've heard, never do they speak of Jesus as the Saviour, as the second person of the Trinity. So they were very troubled. Can you understand then, before we come to these words, that our Saviour was completely aware of his position and of what was going to happen to him? Completely aware. He knew all the events that were to befall him. He knew the passion that he was going to undertake, the pain and the suffering of his body and mind and soul. And yet, he was completely self-possessed and in control of himself as a man. Unlike ourselves, when something happens, almost throws us down and makes us scatterbrained and unable to cope. We hear this sometimes, even from some of our children. They have problems. Oh, I can't cope, Dad. We know that feeling. But our Saviour has altogether self-control, self-awareness. So he speaks such, in this chapter and others, such tender words. The Saviour's heart is full of love. Let not your heart be troubled. And it comes to us, doesn't it? Whatever trial and difficulty you have as a man, as a woman, as a Christian, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. See, I don't want to be morbid, but being in my 80s, I know death is not far away. It can't be, can it? Born in 1941, I would die before 2030, I would guess. I don't know. And it comes into your mind. The only hope, the only sustaining strength is Christ's presence with us. David, let not your heart be troubled. Death will come. And after that, glory. Might be painful, but then you will be in glory. The process may be tricky, but he will see you through. It's true of us, true. The Lord Jesus actually says, even unto the end of the world I am with you. Let not your heart be troubled then. Just a few verses from that next chapter, John chapter 15 and verse 13, we read, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Such wonderful condescension of our dear Saviour. But these words in the chapter that we read, come unto me. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus would say, go on these three things. Jesus says, I am the way. Not merely an example, the prophet, he is. But he is the way of salvation itself. Some people like to speak about Mother Church is our salvation. By adhering to its laws, you'll be safe. By going to all the sacraments, you'll be safe. Mother Church will give you grace. No. Jesus says, I am the way of salvation. I am salvation itself. He was saying, and they could understand this more as time went on, and as they reflected upon their Jewish upbringing, he was their obedience and their sacrifice. He obeyed the law for them, so that we do not have to obey the law. We do, not as a way of salvation, but it is our guide in life. We are to love and to hold to the Ten Commandments, but it's not our salvation. He is our sacrifice. And this is the grand and the glorious work of our Saviour. He came into the world to die upon the cross. He truly and really is the sacrifice for our sins. No other. It's not our obedience. It's not our skill in understanding. It's not our Bible knowledge. It's nothing about us. It's all to do with what the Lord Jesus Christ is for us. Our sacrifice. That's why John Baptist pointed and said, behold the Lamb of God. That's why Paul proclaimed Jesus, preached Jesus everywhere he went. He is the way into all the blessings of the covenant of grace. He is the way to heaven. There's no other way. He entered into heaven itself by his own blood and has opened the way to heaven for us all. He is speaks himself the way, the truth. He is not only truth in the sense of objective truth, the facts. He is truth itself. You see, a man or woman has an integrity of truthfulness. If they lose that, they lose everything. I remember one of my daughters when she was to be made a solicitor, you had to go up to the courts of law and elect the man who's in charge, the lawman, gave them a talk, a lecture. All the parents were there. And he said this, if you lose your integrity, your honesty, you've lost everything. That's true. If a solicitor lies or does something wrong, he's finished. Word gets around. The Saviour is completely honest. He is true itself. He is true eternal life, truly internally man and God, that two natures in the one person. And he is the life, not only the author of life, the giver of life, our natural life, our spiritual life, our eternal life. He is the life itself. He is the way to life. He is the living way. The law only gives death because it condemns, because we've broken the law. But the ministration of the gospel is altogether different. It gives life. It's a reality. It's not something that's theoretical, some idea, some philosophy. Christ is the life. That person, that blessed person. So he says, no man cometh unto the Father. Christ is the only way. There's no other coming. Perhaps I labour it a bit, but I've had a lot of background in Protestant opposition to Romanism. And I learned early, not that I was ever involved with the Roman Catholic Church, but I learned very, very early its hideous doctrines. They say you've got to be baptized, otherwise you're damned. So babies that die before baptism go to limbo. People that die without baptism go to hell. They must be baptized through the Roman Catholic Church. Then you have to go through all the sacraments, as they call them, the seven sacraments. A grotesque, monstrous system. No, the gospel is not anything of that. It's Christ alone. And we come to the Father, but not by the saints or by the church, but through Christ Jesus alone. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's good. That's wonderful, isn't it? Because you don't need much intellect to understand that. You don't need any intellect to understand that, really. I suppose you need some sort of reception of the truth into your mind, but it's very minimal. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's look at these things again. For our Saviour said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father. You see, by nature we've gone our own way. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but that way, those ways are the ways of death. And we see it. There's been a very interesting, still going on the radio, of In Our Time. It's a very interesting program. And it's about all sorts of different subjects. Science, philosophy, history. And they get the best experts, the professors of the universities, men and women who are really very clever and skilled. And they know everything. They can talk about mathematics and history, all the different philosophies. But they have no knowledge. They bring nothing out concerning the way of salvation. Nothing. It's completely deserted. Interesting, instructive. But it's a desert spiritually. There is no way to the Father through Oxford or Cambridge. There's no way to God through churchianity, as people sometimes say. It's nothing to do with the mechanics of men. It's all to do with the Lord Jesus. I am the way. so that a child can know the Lord Jesus, can come to the Father. Somebody with a very low intellect, with learning disabilities, can come to the Father. Somebody who's dying of a painful cancer can come to Christ, who's never thought upon these things. And that has been used by God more than once to show them the end of life, the negativity of life without Christ. Yes. There's no other way to the Father. You can go round the moon and back, but you can't get to the Father. You can go to Mars, or you can go and stand on the moon. You can go to Saturn, or you can go to the nearest star. That's a long way away. You can go to many stars, but you can't go to the Father. They can't. There's no rocket ship powerful enough. There's no mental understanding of their own way. The barrier is there. Sin. Adam knew it, was thrown out of Eden because of his sin, his disobedience. Now there's separation. But dear Christian, through Christ, you are not separated from the Father. He is your Father, as the Lord Jesus Christ says. You see, this can be taken, and rightly so, as an invitation to people to come to the Father through the Lord Jesus. Come unto me. That's been used many times in gospel sermons. Yes, here it's speaking about coming to the Father, but it's the same, really. Jesus is opening himself to say, I am the way, come to the Father. Whosoever will may come. The will is generated by the Holy Spirit. Men of themselves don't have a will. But when you've got a will, it's not your own will, it's the Holy Spirit's work. And the Spirit of God brings to mind the scriptures or the sermon, shows Jesus Christ, and he may use, the preacher may say, Christ says, come unto me, and he comes. Dear friend, we must say this, if you are not in Christ, if you've not come to the Father by the Lord Jesus Christ, you haven't come at all. You're still in your sin. Adam couldn't return to the Garden of Eden. It was completely, completely impossible for him. And mankind, all through the centuries, have been trying to return to the Father. That's why we've got all these different gods of the Greeks and the Babylonians and all these new religions that have come up, trying, struggling to get back to God, but in darkness. See, mankind has been likened to this god Syphilus, if I pronounce it right. It's a Greek god. Very, very interesting. This god, or this person, is a huge rock, and he's got to push it uphill. If he can get it up the hill, he's achieved. So he's push, he's struggling, all the time struggling. He gets it to the top, and it rolls all the way down. And he starts again. To all eternity, he's doing this. And mankind is like that, struggling all the time. And it's true in these Western philosophies. They're struggling and they get nowhere. Or they have very fine thoughts and understanding, but it comes to nothing. You've got this man in the 17th century. And in the 19th century, you've got another philosophy. Oh, he was wrong. And then you've got now the 20th century, 21st century. Struggle. But they get nowhere. They go their own way. Christ, the way, is the only way for poor man to come. And Jesus is the truth. The whole scripture speaks to us of Christ being the truth. All of our experience of as Christians brings us back to the fact it's only Christ that can speak to me. He is the only truth. We may know all sorts of truths. But without Christ, we're totally ignorant of what is real. He is rightly been termed the keynote or the keystone of the whole system of God's truth. He is the truth. And he is the truth because he speaks to us of ourselves. It's different in different people's experience. But he shows us the path of the wicked. This comes to us, comes to me. The path of the wicked is as darkness. That's their way. They know not at what they stumble. That's the world's view. But the truth of the scriptures is that it speaks to us of the truth about ourselves, about the fact that we've fallen into sin. It gives a perfect description of what's happened. And it gives us the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the truth in your own heart? Can you say yes? Humbly, yes. I have seen Jesus as the truth. He speaks to me of what I need to know. The Bible speaks in many, many different ways. The apostle speaks about that in Christ I hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Another says he is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending of all knowledge. And without Christ, you know nothing. You don't know yourselves. You don't know the way of salvation. It's a solemn thing that we have to say. When you come to part this life, you often think about it, you stand before God. All your knowledge, all your experience, all your personality will be nothing. You'll stand condemned because of your sin. But if you can appear, and if you do appear with Christ as your Saviour, you're saved. You'll be accepted. Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Because by nature we're dead in sins. That's spiritual death. And in many people, mentally dead. I don't mean the brain is dead. It seems to me that so much of modern thought is taken up with, what can you say, error. There's no truth in it. There's no life in it. It's altogether deadness. The adverts you might see, all to do with feeling and fulfilling your own personality. Nothing that can help the soul. Without Christ as the life, we are absolutely unable to follow God. Scripture, our own experience shows us that by nature man is dead in his sins. These apostles were very perplexed and troubled by what was going on. But they knew the truth of the gospel in the end. I think that's true. Just to end with, there's a wonderful prophecy in the Old Testament of Ezekiel of the dry bones. It's a very strange prophecy, isn't it? He was brought into this valley. There were dry bones all over the place. Bone dry, very dry. And he asks this question, can these bones live? Well, he didn't think they could, otherwise he was completely perplexed. But here it is. By nature, we are like that valley of dry bones. There is no life, no spiritual life in man. He may have all sorts of physical ability and mental ability, but physically, he's just a bunch of dry bones. It's not until the Spirit of God moves that these bones, remember, came together and stood upright as a great army. They became living. No other way. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So when we read these opening words, a continuation in chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Do just that. Hear the words of Christ. Believe in God, the God of all truth, the God of all love and mercy. And believe in Christ. Receive him and have him as your Saviour. You might know that he is your way to glory, the truth that's hidden from the world, and the very life of the soul that makes us live. I pray that God will bless his holy word to us. They take away anything said poorly, wrongly. God bless his word to us. Amen.